99 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We're going to talk about Oregon Voices from the Ford Family Foundation and Cassie Allen and Mandy Elder. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
Thank you.
So this kind of began a couple of years ago almost. Talk about what the whole idea was.
Sure. So I think we were talking to you in November of 2021 when we were closing out the survey. But the vision started back in 2017, I think, with our president, Ann Kubisch, and really wanting to create an opportunity here in Oregon for rural communities to share what life is like in their corner of the state. You know, so often when survey work is done here in Oregon, if we sample according to how the population is distributed across the state, we end up with a lot of urban voices, a lot of voices from where the population centers are, and not voices from the nooks and crannies of our state. So that's something we really wanted to do with this. We also wanted to really focus on lived experience. So what is life like in these different parts of Oregon, as opposed to what do you think about this particular idea or thing. So a focus on lived experience and also a methodology or sampling strategy that would get us into every single county.
So how long did it take to gather the data, and when did that process wrap up and then figuring out what to do with it began?
Great question. So we closed the survey at the end of November in 2021. And there were two phases of the survey. The first one was something called a random household survey. 500 households in each of Oregon's 36 counties were invited to participate, and we kept coming at them with a letter from the president, a big paper packet with surveys in English and in Spanish. Eventually, more than 2,000 people participated in that phase. 1,000 of them, actually a little more than 1,000, completed paper surveys. And that ended up creating some of this time lag. After that, though, we were so excited by the turnout for the random household phase that we did a push out using the foundation's sort of contacts, our grantees, scholarship recipients, folks we know here at home, and pushed out in another 2,200-ish folks participated. Almost all of those, though, did so digitally. But what happened after that is just you've got to clean that data, and you've got to get paper surveys entered, and then you have to start making sense of it, and it just all takes a lot longer than you think. And we'd never done anything like this before.
I imagine, too, the fact that you're covering these areas was led to the fact that you had more paper surveys.
100%. We know that there are many communities in Oregon that don't have super strong internet access. And also, we had a phone line open the whole time and an email open the whole time. We got phone messages from folks before they received their paper packet saying, I don't have a cell phone. Our household doesn't have a computer. How do I take this survey? So we know that those households exist all across our region.
And for people like me that deal with technology all day, and you guys as well, sometimes I think you forget that. There was even a local event in a rural area over the weekend where somebody said, hey, I'm putting this notice up because where we're going to be doing the event at, there is no internet. And I'm like, what? Really? That's pretty amazing. So that's one factor. So after that, Mandy, what did you guys start doing with all this in terms of putting it together? It seemed like a complex process.
Yeah, absolutely. We had such an overwhelmingly high response rate, even compared to any other type of survey. We got a much higher response rate than you might usually expect. And people were so generous and thoughtful in how they responded, the types of nuance and just information they shared about their daily lives with us. We took that information. We worked with research teams at Portland State University and Echo Northwest to do an analysis, as Cassie described, clean everything up. And we've produced a website that holds a couple different tools that people can use to access the data. It's orvoices.org. And what we've done is, so far, produced a profile, a summary for every county. So you can go and see the data and read the quotes and voices of the people in your community who responded. And we also have an interactive dashboard that allows you to sort by all sorts of demographics by the phase of the research, by location, by gender, by income, and see how people responded to the various questions.
And when did this website go live?
Today. Today is the launch. We're very excited.
Well, here we are at the very front end, and I'm already looking at the Douglas County page where you got 430 invited responses and 69 random households, so about 500 people right from Douglas County.
So Douglas County is our largest reporting county, and I think for folks who look at the Douglas County data, it's really important to know in most counties we got a little bit more of an equal balance between random household folks and folks who participated during what we call the Ford Family Invitation phase. So it's just important to know that generally speaking, people that responded from the random household sample tended to be a little lower income. They tended to be a little bit older, and the folks that responded tended to have a little less education than the folks that responded in the Ford family phase. But no other county showed up the way Douglas County did, and thank you to you, Kyle, for having us here. I think we made a big plug that early in November, and Douglas County really showed up to take this survey.
For the county, what kinds of things have you been able to get out of the survey?
That's right. Well, you know, it's so fascinating because you can really see in the data what a lot of us know from living here. People responded with a lot of nuance and named some of the biggest challenges and tensions that we hold in our communities. We have a few quotes that we pulled out actually to read, and I think this one captures it well. Someone shared, "Roseburg is a beautiful community with enormous potential. There's lots of movement in the right direction right now, but there's lots of work ahead."
Interesting. I was just looking at some of the stats, for instance, and this is where I'm trying to talk and use a mouse at the same time. A lot of people in Douglas County have lived here a very long time, or lived at least in Oregon all their life.
Yeah, and this was true actually for the whole sample, that the folks who, you know, and this is true of a lot of survey research. You get more retirees who are at home. They have more time to complete a survey. And so that the sample skews that way. It's a rural skew, if you will. But yeah, there are so many takeaways for Douglas County. I think there's this tension, I think, between what people think Douglas County can be, the vision for a future, and the tensions that they see in our community, where folks are experiencing a fair amount of income inequality, some concern that, you know, kids don't have places to be when they aren't at school or at home. Mandy just passed me another great quote. You know, we have the opportunity to thrive, but we need a vision that draws people toward a shared dream for a better tomorrow. One of the things that does stand out in the Douglas County data, and it's not, Douglas County is not alone in this, but a lot of people wrote about the division that they experience living here as residents, and a desire to find a greater sense of sort of common purpose and oneness. And so that's something for all of us, I think, to think about. Every county has its assets and opportunities.
Well, and speaking of assets, from a financial stand, 23% reported household incomes under $65,000. That's for the whole household. And interestingly, about a fifth said it would be difficult or very difficult to get $1,000 to pay for an emergency.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And in fact, we know that the data in Douglas County shows that over half of our households are living below that $65,000 threshold, which is a survival budget in Douglas County. So 23% of those who responded to this survey are in that category themselves, and are, you know, recognizing, there's another stat, that 67% of respondents agree or strongly agree that families are having trouble making ends meet.
This is important, though, because I think this data is it's a voices survey. And so what that means is that we aren't pretending that we have a perfect distribution of everybody in Douglas County in the survey. We have the random household folks, and we have the folks who showed up. And they do tend to be better positioned in our community. And that's evidenced by the percentage of home ownership, their education, their income, et cetera.
All right, we're going to talk more when we come back. Cassie Allen, Mandy Elder, the interview of podcast after one at 541radio.com. ORvoices.org is the website if you want to check it out during the interview. Back in 2 minutes on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth at 4. Tomorrow, another preview of the Summer Arts Festival here on Inside Douglas County. Sarah Holborough and more coming in to talk about that tomorrow. Mandy Elder and Cassie Allen from the Ford Family Foundation. ORvoices.org, the website, went live today. You can look at it right now, go through the data, look at individual counties. And you could probably spend hours on here. We've got less than a half hour here. But what about Douglas County and some of the neighboring counties? What do you see there in terms of similarities or differences?
Absolutely. So, you know, we Coos County and Lane County are two that the foundation cares about a lot. We work in very regularly. And you definitely can see that the respondents are from a similar part of Oregon, facing some similar challenges and benefits. You know, across the board, there is this love of place, the beautiful place we have, the extent to which neighbors are showing up, helping each other, especially in times of need. But there's also this sort of small town sentiment that crops up. This particular quote is from Lane County, actually. And we can all try to guess what small town in Lane County it might be from. The quote is, "It's known as a retirement town, but families are moving in and we need housing. We need activities for our children. We run this town. We keep grocery stores, gas stations, restaurants, et cetera, open and running. We deserve to live here and be able to afford to live here." And so it really reflects this sort of churn and change that small town Oregon is experiencing, I think especially in this part of Oregon.
And as we've gone through the pandemic, we all saw in 2020, if you were out much trying to avoid people, which I think was kind of a common thing at the time, was the fact that we had an influx of people locally from Portland, from California. The real estate people that I'm in contact with continuously tell me about people coming from other parts of Oregon. People liked the style of living here. I know folks working remotely in multiple states that are here, including somebody I know who actually works for a company like in the Northeast. They were already here, they got the job, and they convinced the company they didn't need to move to do the job. And so there's a lot of love for living here, but with some additional people coming in, housing has really been a challenge.
Absolutely. And so housing is probably the biggest takeaway of the overall Oregon Voices report, is that statewide, no matter where you live, housing is not affordable. That's what we are hearing from the respondents of this survey to varying degrees. But we are hearing that homelessness, unhoused populations, that sometimes those problems or challenges are associated with urban communities. This is something Oregon is experiencing statewide in urban spaces as well as rural ones.
So, Mandy, as people begin to look at this data today, what do you hope they will do with it?
I hope that as you explore the website, the report for your county, and the interactive dashboard, you get really curious about people's experiences. There are a lot of true lived experiences and opinions that people hold that are different from our own. As many people as responded, there are opinions. And so I invite people to keep a really open mind and dig in to what our neighbors are saying about what it's like to live here, what it's like to live in other counties that you think are similar to ours or even very different, where we have commonality, and where there might be some surprising differences.
So on the political side, we talk about sometimes a rural-urban divide. While this isn't aimed that direction, did you see some of that in attitudes about things?
I have to say that we saw more sort of common cause than we saw division in the data along urban-rural lines, although the data is filterable for people to go and explore and come to their own conclusions with respect to that. We even had a question about how people leaned politically, and that question yielded data that was much more mixed than I think anybody would have anticipated. We haven't put that particular question on the website yet, but we will in the months ahead. I think the big takeaway for us is that we are living in complex times, and wherever we look, there is this complexity, and it is happening in rural and urban. It does look a little different. Rural folks tend to be more proud of where they live. They tend to have a deeper love of place. They're showing up more for each other or reporting that they are, volunteering more. And we did not see that in our urban spaces in the same way. Urban folks are celebrating all the amenities that they have. They like being able to walk over to a grocery store and so on. Rural spaces don't have that as much. But we heard from many of our rural respondents, like, we like where we live. We like being here with fewer people, distance from the big cities. We choose to be in this beautiful small town. And so I think that's the important takeaway, is that we are more alike than we are unlike. And we have differences that can be celebrated. It doesn't need to lead to otherizing and judgment.
Now that the data is out there for everyone to look at, do you also take some of this and take different aspects and make that available to community political leaders, people like that?
Yeah, our hope is that this data will reach our local and state policymakers so that they can be more informed as well about our constituents' experiences and opinions. We'll also be working on throughout this year, looking at statewide trends and issuing research briefs on particularly important and really evident topics such as housing affordability.
And while you've got a lot of the basic data up here now, there's probably more to add to the mix as you go along.
There will be more to add to the mix. So we just, so much time for the people who took the survey, we wanted them to have some results, but we'll be adding to this very much over the next 18 months to 2 years for sure.
It's kind of a unique project to be part of, but I imagine for both of you, this took up a good chunk of time.
It indeed took a good chunk of time, but we are really proud and proud that the foundation has supported it. We actually know of no other work like this that has been done in Oregon. We actually know of no other foundation that is engaged in this kind of work in another state. So we're really honored to have been a part of it and super proud of the Oregonians who showed up and so generously shared the stories of their life with us.
Now, it was a big process. Do you think you'll do some level of an update or maybe approach some other questions up the road?
Absolutely. We received approval from our board of directors recently. They are interested in the foundation doing a second round. We would envision that that'll be sometime in the late 2020s, probably 2026.
And then you can look at some of the same things, see what has changed, but maybe also notice some new areas that didn't get covered this time.
Absolutely. And go deeper on a couple of areas where respondents raised some interesting questions or nuance that we really hadn't thought about when we designed the survey. It was our best guess, the first time we'd done anything like this. And so this will be an opportunity to follow up more deeply on some areas.
And if people want to find out more about it, how do they do that? About the survey?
Well, actually, coming up next month on July 28th at 11 o'clock, we're going to be hosting with our research partners and colleagues an open community webinar where you'll hear from the research team. You can go to orvoices.org. There's an engage tab and you can sign up for that virtual webinar. We would really love for our neighbors here in Douglas County to show up and learn with us.
Mandy Elder, Cassie Allen from the Ford Family Foundation. It's OregonVoices.org. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.